The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
9:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Joining us right now from Be More Baseball Podcast, he is Mike Bordick. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Rob. How are you, man? I'm sorry I missed you guys earlier. I was still celebrating the weekend win. Are you kidding me? We won the series.
Man,
on a Sunday we won.
It doesn't take much to get Bordy fired up. Just a Sunday victory.
He's not fired up right now. Let's go.
Speaking of fired up, man, Ryan Mountcastle with 5 hits in this series, including 2 yesterday, RBI, clutch opposite field hit. Are you starting to sense that maybe Mountcastle is starting to climb out of this thing a little bit?
Man, he better start climbing out of it. A couple other guys better, too. I mean, they need these guys so much. That's why we all said, the offense will be fine. They just have too many good hitters. I mean, Mountcastle is a stud right-handed hitter. And just a couple years ago, hit 30 home runs. And then I just think the wall got in his head. And we all expected so much, you know, coming into this year. And maybe that kind of little reverse psychology got in there. And he was maybe just trying too hard to hit home runs. So nice to see him get some hits, use the whole field. Because, you know, we talk about this all the time. Hitting in the big leagues, it isn't about a mechanical thing many times. It's just more about do you feel confident? Do you feel like you're better than that guy throwing out on the hill that night? And a hit, broken bat, it doesn't matter. Off the end of the bat goes a long way for helping to build that kind of confidence.
Tomo's kept this rotation somewhat alive, since the only guy we can kind of rely on. With the return of Eflin, how big a deal is that impact of rotation?
I think it's great. I mean, my gosh, what a great stabilizer. I mean, half the time we're just out of ball games. So to have guys that will at least keep the team in it and give the offense a chance, you know, to score some runs is what it's all about. I mean, that's what Major League pitching is. You don't have to go out there and be Cy Young every night. Just give your team a chance, man. You know, don't put up crooked numbers in the first dang inning. And, you know, Eflin is the master at that. I don't know that he's ever given up 3 runs in his life, it seems. I mean, he's just really good. So, and to have Sagano emerge as, like, the most consistent pitcher in Major League Baseball, are you kidding me? I mean, he is just carving guys up right now. So, it feels a lot better. And this is the name of the game, man. As guys get healthy, just look for improvement, steady improvement. They're not going to hoist the trophy next weekend, but they could make steps towards it if they just start playing better baseball and get guys healthy along the way.
Mike, you talked about guys that have to start hitting. I'm assuming Adley falls into that group as well, because I can't figure out what's going on with him. He got the assisted triple yesterday and looked a little bit better at the plate. What are your thoughts on what you're seeing from him?
Well, that assisted triple might have been a lifesaver. I mean, I know I felt so good about that. That is so rare to get that little boost to help you just put a smile on your face, because you know he is scuffling, man, and this game is all in his head right now. And he's constantly reminded of it because, you know, he's supposed to be a great player. And he's had some struggles here for over a year. I'm not going to say they fired a couple of their hitting coaches because of that last year, but the new guys aren't doing much to help him. And, it's really a head-scratcher because, you know, it just appears that his whole life he's been a really consistent player. And I will go back to last year. They started getting on Adley about his bat speed. And you just wonder what kind of stuff gets into a guy's head. Is he trying to create too much bat speed? Just be that good hitter that you are and put the barrel on the ball. Use the whole field, and that's when he's at his best. I just feel like him, like a lot of hitters, are trying to do so much to help this team that they're kind of getting outside their own natural game plan. I can understand wanting to get better, but, man, you still got to be a consistent hitter, and then naturally that kind of progression happens.
Mike Bordick, tell us all about Be More Baseball Podcast.
Wow, the Be More Baseball podcast is going great. I think we're on our 12th episode. We've had so many fun guests. Jim Duquette, who obviously a fan of your show, has been on there, and he gives some awesome insight. So just talking about current up-to-date baseball events, have some special guests, and we got another special one this week that we're going to kind of go back in time and talk about some old-school front office stuff. So it's going to be interesting and fun, and thanks a lot for bringing that up and talking about it.
No problem. Thanks a lot, Bordick.
Thanks, Morty.
All right, guys. See ya.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Ed, you think that with the negativity around this team, can you think of a bright spot?
Yeah, I think the guy's players are returning. I mean, honestly, my players are returning. I think the brightest spot for me is Jackson Holliday.
Oh, yeah.
After his you know, kind of rocky entrance into the major leagues, I think he looks like he belongs now.
Yeah, he does. He does. Jeremy, I know I don't talk about this guy enough, but my bright spot is going to be the turnaround of Dean Kramer. I think what he's done his last couple of starts, 14 innings on his last two starts, he looks like that guy that you needed him to be. That's the bright spot for me.
My bright spot is Tommy. I mean, Tommy's been the one thing in the it's, you know, you look at the way the rotation sets up, and I'm shocked that that's the one reliable guy now until Eflin comes back, that every time he takes the mound, you're like, I think we're going to be in the game, and that's what he's done.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it to me, you look at what he's done. He was a great unknown. I can't say I expected him to do well or nothing. I didn't know anything to expect from Sugano. I had no expectations from him positively. Mm-hmm. He was the definition of a wait and see guy.
Yeah.
We expect from him, we'll wait and see. And when I saw him the first game, when he couldn't last because he got hand cramps and he was sweating profusely, I'm like, dude, I don't know if this guy is in shape enough to be able to pitch here. And I think it was just one of those situations where he was extremely nervous. It was the moment of his life, something he's always been waiting for, Ed. And his body just didn't react the way he wanted it to.
I agree.
Since then, he's been fine.
Absolutely fine. More than fine. Yep.
Yeah, you know, you look.
I mean, we've been there before. Been waiting so long for it, and then your body just don't react to it.
But it happens.
But as Ed pointed out, though, like all the guys that are coming back, I think if you're looking future bright spot, or at least maybe here it's in the present now, is these guys that are coming back. Because that should stabilize this lineup and the rotation a little bit better and then give you options. Whereas when Charlie Morton was in there, you didn't have any other options. It's like, who do you want us to throw? To me, it's anyone. But, like, you know, I understand from a standpoint with the Orioles, you're looking at it going, we don't have anybody that's ready right now because we lost seven pitchers.
Jeremy Collins, Daily Line at 9:30, but on the other side, compared to 23 and 24, looking at the Ravens ahead this year, is this the worst spot to contend for a Super Bowl? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan on this manic Monday. Baltimore Ravens, Jeremy, you said, and you've stuck to this, they've been the best team in the NFL for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Are they ready to be that team again, or is this the worst position for them to contend for the Super Bowl since that run of 2023?
I don't think it's the worst. I think the teams around them have gotten a little bit better, but I still think, I don't know, I feel like they should be the class of the AFC once again. With what they've done in the draft, the key is, what injuries do we have? Can they stay healthy? And do some of the players take that next step forward that you kind of hope that the younger guys being in a situation and now being able to do whatever you want with Kyle Hamilton? I think this should be a really, really good season that finishes
where
I thought the last two would finish.
That's right. So that's the only problem. It's an incredibly talented team. I think they're as good as or was close second to the Eagles, I think, roster-wise. Yet the Eagles win the Super Bowl, and we don't.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big difference.
And I'm glad you said that, because I have a problem with, I think the talent is there, but the Ravens, for me, have become, if I was not a Baltimorean, if I didn't cover this team, I would say to you, Ed, the Ravens are the team that can't win the big game. Period. That would be how I defined them.
I think we're saying that.
But what I'm saying, that's all I would have to say about them.
Yeah.
I have more to say about them because I know them better.
Right.
We're around them. But if I covered the team in, I don't know, Atlanta, you know, I would say, well, I would love to be the Ravens. However, they're the team that can't win the big one.
Yeah.
You know, they get you in the playoffs. And I said this before. I think the Ravens' biggest challenge from a marketing standpoint for 2025 is keeping fans interested for 17 games, for 18 weeks. because I think the fans are so, what are you going to do in the postseason, oriented. The biggest challenge is keeping them engaged for 18 weeks. Because we've seen this movie before. You know what I think the best situation for the Ravens would be? Start off the season 1-3. And then go on a run.
I don't know about that.
I'm going to tell you, and then go on a run. You know why? Because the Baltimore Oriole fans started off the season saying, they got to win in the postseason. I don't care about the regular season. Mm-hmm. Until they started losing.
Yeah.
And then here they came. If they're right now in first place, all the talk is, there's no talk. They got to do in the postseason. We've seen this before.
To be fair to Rob, he did say that if the Orioles start off 15-24, it could be the best thing to do. And here we are.
If the Ravens go 1-3 and then go on a run, they'll get your interest at the beginning because all the moaning and bitching complaining about losing. Now they got you. Now they're on a run and then they're going. That's the best case scenario. Slow start, quick finish, win it all. Because if they start off strong, the fans are going to be like, we've seen this before. Get me to the postseason.
Well, you know what? You're right, because that's exactly what they're going to say.
Yeah.
If they start off like, you know, 3-1, 4-2, whatever, people are like, okay.
What about the postseason?
You were 13-4 and did nothing.
I don't think it matters how they start. The whole thing is going to be decided by how they finish because we've had the same results every year. Mm-hmm. Where again, you go back and look at the games and you're going, wait a minute, we didn't punt against the Bills and we lost. Wait a minute, we dominated the Chiefs and they punt
against
it.
The Bills.
We
shut out the Chiefs in the second half, whatever,
and you lost.
Yeah,
like what? Even going back to some of the other playoff games where the running backs don't get the ball. I mean, to be fair, especially in the playoffs, everything gets criticized and brought up the next day after the fact. There are some people that watch games and go, hey, I think they should do that here. Well, the point is, if you go for it on fourth down, you don't get it. It doesn't mean it was a bad play call. You know, like we've seen it. The Ravens did that against the Steelers. Mark Andrews wide open. You could have lobbed that ball over T.J. Watt's head. To your point, why do you have T.J. Watt running free over there?
Exactly.
But the guy's wide open, so the play design worked. They just didn't execute it.
Yeah. 410-583-1057 is the number. Wayne in Dundalk. What's up, Wayne?
Rob, gentlemen, good morning. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Hey, I just wanted to touch base with you, man, because I feel so optimistic about this year, man. Probably more optimistic than what I've ever felt, man. And the reasons why I tell you is because last year, the first three or four games, we lost because our defense. I mean, it was so terrible. Justin Tucker, you know, was messing up. But I think that with Pagano there now from the gate, I think Hamilton will be able to play back the way he was. And then last year, even for our offense, the first two games, it was like Derrick Henry wasn't really, you know, fired up. It didn't seem like we were ready to go. And now them guys have all the experience playing together, you know, and even in the playoffs, Flowers wasn't there. As long as they don't throw at the Andrews in the playoffs, we're good. But I really feel confident, man, that this is our year, brother. That's it.
All right. Let me, hey, Wayne, you still there? Wayne.
He's gone. Wanted to hear himself. Nothing wrong with that.
Because I wanted to ask him, Wayne, if we would have talked to you last year this time, would you have felt like it was the year?
I still feel like it's their year last year. What the hell happened?
What happened?
I felt like it was our year last year too, so I don't know how much confidence to put in my feelings, because now I feel like, they can't win the big one.
See, it's weird when I look at the two seasons, the first one hurt the first most, if you get what I'm saying. Like, you had the triple crown on defense. You had the best running game in football yet again.
Yeah.
And you gave us that against Kansas City after Buffalo ran for almost 200, what was it, over 200 yards?
Yeah, they ran all over them.
And then we come in, it's like, gosh, we're not running the football.
They weren't giving it to us.
We tried a couple times.
They weren't giving it to us. Yeah. Nobody gave it to you. You ran over everybody.
It's a
terrible excuse.
It's the old point that we get to where it's like, all right, you get into the postseason, they're showing you something different. They're trying to take away what you do best. Do you flinch and try to attack them from a different route? Or do you say, F that? We do this better than anyone.
I only coach kids who are like 13 years old. I assume everybody we played was trying to take away what we did best.
Yes.
Like, wouldn't you do that in the NFL? No, your opponent's going to try to take away your best player. Like when the Chiefs prepare, do you think they're watching Kelce?
See, and the same thing that you're talking about, like I believe coming in and running the football and then setting up the play action pass, even if they're trying to stop the run, then setting up the play action pass, which you should have one-on-ones on the outside.
Right.
that's the way to beat these teams in the league. Don't change what you do. Make them flinch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, to Ed's point, everybody that plays the Kansas City Chiefs wants to stop Travis Kelce. Everybody does.
Of course.
But yet, he's consistently one of the best tight ends in all the National Football League, maybe with the exception of 2024. But you know my point. Everybody wants to stop Lamar. I think Mike Tyson said it best. Everybody has a plan.
Till you get punched in the mouth.
Till you get punched in the mouth. I'm going to stop this from Mike. Bam! Oh, man. Then you realize, guess what? It's unstoppable. That's what makes him who he is. You ain't stopping that. So, I know what they're trying to do, so let's do the opposite. Well, they won because they took you away from doing your best. The dumbest thing ever. The dumbest thing ever. But, yeah, I don't know if this is a worse situation for being a Super Bowl contender, Jeremy, but until they do it, I don't believe they can do it.
Well, I mean, I hate that phrase, but I understand why people use it.
I wasn't that way because of 23. I wasn't that way because of 24. I was that way because of the second year, 19, 23, 24. I've had a lot of examples of this team being very, very good in the regular season, if not the best, and finding ways to lose in the postseason. They find ways to lose, including one of the game's best tight ends dropping the easiest pass to his breadbasket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just inventing ways to lose. Yeah. That's what. When that happened, I said, you know what? Just forget it. It ain't happening.
By the way, Wayne just sent me a message that he didn't feel that way last year. So,
okay.
You're not believing him?
Nope. Nope. Let's go to Ed in Towson. What's up, Ed?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I think I agree, Rob. I think the thing is, and I've seen it, I've done it, not on that level, but, you know, we talked about this before, Rob, with the mistakes that they make in phase, in the playoffs, in high leverage situations, and that's the separating factor. Chiefs, a couple of years ago, when they won the Super Bowl, they were 10-7. I mean, they look horrible. They look bad. But during those high leverage situations, Rob, you've seen it in tournament time. You got to look better than you did during the regular season. You have to finish, and you can't make the type of mistakes that they make in those high leverage. They're going to give you a lot to cheer about. I've said this like a broken record during the season, but when they get to those high leverage situations, that's the difference right there. Which is why I think they need to grab Clowney, because you need some cats that people have to worry about, people have to scheme for, like Cal Hamilton, like the big, number zero. If you get another piece, that gives the offense something else to worry about, and that may make the difference, like a Chris Jones. Nobody knew who Carl Loftus was before Chris Jones got there. Well, that's the balancing act that you have to play. But they got to iron out the mistakes, man. You can be as good as you want to be, but if you're going to still make crucial mistakes, Lamar included, everybody, it's going to be hard to win the show. You'll just be a really good team with really good stats, but you can't win championship. Those single things are big, and you got to iron them out. Take care, guys.
And that's, to me, the biggest problem, that you can pass the blame around for too many people, which tells me that's when it becomes a culture. Joe LaCroix's Encore 945, but on the other side is Jeremy Kahn's Daily Line.
Yeah, I had a winning day yesterday, 3-2. And it was got really lucky in the Orioles game. I'll tell you how, with two outs in the ninth. To give me that winning day. But we'll talk about today. We've got not a lot of afternoon baseball games. I think they start at 6 o'clock, but we have NBA, NHL. The NHL play might be my favorite play of the day. We get to it next in Daily Line.
And he hits one out to left. And all the fun being had by Matthew Lugo. It's his first Major League home run. That was massive, too.
It's about effing time, by the way, that I get one of those. I'll explain it in a second. That's courtesy of FanDuel Sportsnet. Now,
a Major League home run?
No. So, Ed, you've been gone a while. I don't know if you've heard me talk about the bad beats I've had. I had back-to-back hockey bad beats. The worst
one ever. I've been
gone,
but I've been on the air.
But again,
you've told me talked about
it. So, like, recently, yeah. I've had a bunch of just really tough losses. And I'm not making excuses. If you watch the game, mm-hmm. you see. So, I like to admit, when I get lucky, two outs in the ninth, pinch hit. First homer the guy ever hits to go over the total. Now, at that point, I was pushing, so it would have been 2-2-1. But, man, it feels so good to get that win with the Orioles over yesterday. Two outs, home run on a pinch hitter in the ninth. You can't beat it. Just to recap what happened yesterday and what I had, I lost the Thunder game. They won by 5, favored by 6.5. They jumped out to an early lead and then just kind of pissed it away. The Nuggets actually had a decent lead going into the fourth, and the Thunder battled back. Had the Nats over, they just didn't hit. Cardinals hit a bunch of home runs in that game, just didn't get there. And I've been talking about it. The Yankees over against the A's. I've been telling all my subscribers, like, there's certain games that I consider lottery tickets. Like, if you ever hear me talking about an overplay on the show and how much I love it, that's one that I'm usually going to pair with two guys that hit a home run in the game and then parlay it all together. And why do I do that? Those things correlate. It doesn't have to be home runs. You want to play it safer and go over 1.5 total bases. You want to predict a guy to get two hits, whatever. But it's that type of, I hate saying atmosphere, but when you look at the game, you're getting that. So if you like the over, hitting home runs correlates with the over, right? So like in fantasy football, when we talk about daily fantasy, if you're playing a running back from a team, it makes sense to play the defense from that team. You guys understand, I'm not trying to mansplain, but you understand why? Because the thought process is, if you're winning that game, you're running the football,
right?
And your defense and your running back could correlate, meaning that they're both having the same type of success. You got the lead late, he's pounding it out, and then you got the defense stopping it and getting after the quarterback. Again, makes sense. So I think more people should. These are lottery tickets in my mind that you have a little bit more of an edge on than you would just playing the lottery. So over the weekend, I didn't hit any of them. I told him, you're not going to hit many of them. But I gave out one over the weekend in the game that Jason Dominguez hit three home runs. I had the call right on the other side with Brent Rooker, the over. And then yesterday, I didn't get the A side right. I had Ben Rice, and he hit a grand slam. So in those games, I think it just makes sense to do stuff like that. And you don't have to bet a lot on it. Like, again, if you're normally a $50 to $100 bettor, you could throw $10, $20 on this.
Right.
The payout on a $20 bet for the one I gave out on Saturday was almost $800.
Really?
Yeah, $800 on a $20. Well, because you got to factor in hitting a home run, unless you're Aaron Judge and you're plus 160, which is just trash. But if you hit a home run at plus 300 and you parlay that with someone else that hits a home run at plus 450 along with the over, now you got a three-team parlay and it pays out a ton. So that's why I tell people to do it, and I look for those games, and you'll hear me talk about it throughout the year. Now, let me get to today's slate. Oh, the games I won yesterday. Maybe I should tell you about that. Had the Phillies under in the nightcap, hit that. Yankees over, and of course the Orioles over. So it worked out for me. Now, where are we going today? Let's start off in the NBA. I like the Knicks and the Celtics to go under the 208.5. Part of me really wanted to bet the Celtics here. We have a weird situation tonight where we have two road favorites in the NBA of about the same number. And there's a reason why you could pick each team to win. Like, everybody, Boston was the best team or one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference along with Cleveland. Everybody expecting them to bounce back. They own the Knicks all year long, and the Knicks here have looked vastly different. They put OG Anunoby on Jason Tatum to frustrate the hell out of him, and they keep rotating fresh bodies on him. I think this goes under the total, and I'm going to take the Wolves minus the 5.5. If we come in tomorrow and the Celtics cover the minus 5.5 and the Wolves go under the total, I'm going to be pissed. Because I see the same thing in both games where I think we get lower scoring games, but the Wolves are right around 200, which makes sense. It's the two best defensive teams, I think, left in the playoffs here when you look at what they've done. The Warriors were the best defensive team in the league when they got Jimmy Butler, when they added him. And the Wolves have always been a great defensive team. They've got so many long, lean guys that can cover wings and even their bigs. Rudy Gobert, who I beat up all the time. Yeah, if you get him on a switch and a guard gets on him, he's just going to put him in a blender. And he'll get that spin cycle where his feet are crossing and his arms are going, you know. But he still can protect the hoop, and that eliminates some of the guys driving and so forth. But so I think with both defensive teams, they're both viable. But Boston, New York, under will be a top play for me. I like the Wolves. In the NHL, this is my favorite play today. I like Vegas and Edmonton to go over the 6.5. I just think this is one of those games. I wouldn't be surprised if one team scored 7 tonight. I just think it's one of those goofy games where you just see high scoring. We've had a couple back and forth, and I think they've been very close, and they went over, I think, two games ago. I think this is the one that kind of... And look, I'd probably be on Edmonton, but I love the over here. I just think it's going to be fast paced. I don't know about you, if you want to chime in on Edmonton and Vegas.
Edmonton's got two of the best scores in hockey.
Yeah.
So it's always a good bet, I think.
So, and again, I'm not betting the Caps game tonight. I like Carolina, but they're minus 200. And I've said this before, I don't want to bet minus 200 favorites.
They're minus 240 in my line.
Okay. So I'm just saying it's over 200.
It's really crazy.
It's the same thing. Like, people are always like, well, you bet a lot of totals in baseball. Well, Do I really want to come in? And I feel like I have an edge on totals with the weather and everything else that I've been using, but Texas is a 285 favorite. Chicago is a 230 favorite. Padres 230 favorite. Atlanta's a 2-1 favorite. Philly's minus 160. You know, like all these games and you start coming in and are minus 200. I've said this before. You get a team minus 200, you got to win two games to equal that if you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
You know, it's wild. I was right. My son lives right where the Panther, the light, Hurricanes play, excuse me.
All of them.
All of them play. It's so weird to see. Nobody gave a rat's ass about the Panthers.
And now they do?
No.
Oh, you mean the Panthers. Okay.
The Carolina Panthers, yes. I mean. Nobody cares about football down there. The Hurricanes, they're wild.
It's crazy.
It's everywhere.
Like, because they're good.
Because in football down there is about college.
Yes.
That's it.
100%.
There's no college hockey down there. So and, that was a new sport. It was something different for them to do.
Right there, you've got Duke, yeah. NC State, UNC. You got all those Wake Forest. It's right there. All these colleges right there.
It's kind of cool, but it's so weird when you go down to the South and more people want to talk college football than they do.
I was shocked to see hockey so popular in North Carolina.
I told you, when I was living in South Carolina, when they were awarded the Panthers, and my uncle looked at me and said, "Why they do that? Don't you guys need a team in Baltimore?" That's the first thing he said. "Why they do that? Yeah. You guys need a team in Baltimore." Yeah. He didn't want the team.
Yeah.
And hockey is perfect for them because even though it starts before college football season's over, it really gets revved up.
Yeah.
College football season ends, you go right into hockey. And it's new to them.
Went to a nice restaurant because was it Saturday night, I guess? People in the restaurants are wearing jerseys. Like I would not wear a hockey jersey to a decent restaurant. I mean, I wear it around the house or something.
And I think part of it, Ed, is because I know when I moved down there in the early 90s, minor league hockey was huge. So I think that was the genesis of it. Minor league hockey in the Carolinas was huge. Florence had a team, different areas. I think Raleigh had a minor league team. And because that was so good, now think about it. You love minor league hockey, and all of a sudden the league tell you they're gonna give you a major team.
Yeah.
I think think the beginning of it was the big boom with minor league hockey. Yeah.
I'm done asking you guys what you think about it. You turned my daily line into a minor league hockey segment. You realize that?
We did
hijack. And Hurricanes talk.
We did hijack.
You did? You realize that?
Yeah, realize.
Just trying to.
I got a little bit of. I don't have any time left, but I'm going to give you the plays. I'm running through this fast. So, weather report: Phillies over, one of the best plays today. Mets over, good play. Cubs under is the best play, but the pitching sucks. Padres under is another one. And here's what I like: I like Milwaukee Cleveland over 8. It's a decent pitching matchup, at least, well, Freddie Peralta is going for Milwaukee side, but I think they score over 8 here. I like the Red Sox in their game, plus 110. I think they're going to have an excellent shot. When you look at the matchup today against Detroit, Jackson Jobe. I got the whole thing wrong. Jackson Jobe was a prospect for the Tigers that really hasn't just panned out yet, but I think he's going to eventually, and he's going to run into a buzzsaw of Boston today. In my opinion, I like the Angels and the Padres to go under 7. Again, decent pitching matchup as we have Mike King and Yusei Kikuchi.
Kikuchi.
Thank you. My top plays to go along with the Knicks under and the Edmonton over. St. Louis, Philly over 8. Best weather today for hitters. Love this spot. We get Liberatore versus Sanchez. You are not Sanchez. I am Sanchez.
Liberatore has good food.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he can pitch. He's actually been better this year, but I do like the over.
Better
I think
Charlie Morton.
Everybody's been better than Charlie Morton. I like Houston and Kansas City to go over the 8. And I also like that Cubs-Marlins game. Colin Ray, who I used to attack, gets a ton of ground balls. Wind's blowing in at Wrigley. And then on the flip side, we get for the Marlins, it's nothing scary, really, when you look at it. It's Cal Quantrill, who's not very good. He is a fly ball pitcher, so I'm hoping he limits the damage and those fly balls turn into outs. I like the under there. To recap, Edmonton over is my favorite. Knicks under. Phillies over. Houston Astros over. And we have the Cubs Marlins under. There you go.
By the way, Ed, Raleigh Ice Caps was the team.
Was it?
They were the New Jersey Devils affiliate. When they got NHL, they moved to Augusta.
Did you say Ice Cats?
Ice Caps.
I like Ice Caps.
You know,
better.
I did do when I was in Durham waiting for Jack's tattoo. So I passed the Bulls Stadium.
Oh, okay.
It's actually nice.
Durham Bulls, yeah. It is very nice. Thank you very much, Jeremy Carr.
Yep.
Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find The Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm driving back Thursday night because I worked went to the doctor, did all my thing, did everything I had to do, get everything. I didn't get a road late, obviously. I make it to Georgia finally. I'm on the road forever. And I run into a thunderstorm, bad one. I'm like, oh, man. I'm tired. I can't see. It's pouring out. There's lightning. I pull off. I find a Comfort Inn right off the highway. Okay. It's $88 a night. I'm like, wow, this is great. Now I know why.
You open the door.
I go into the room. I was like, all right. All right. I wanted to go 8 hours. It went like 5 or 6. So I said, all right, this didn't work out for me.
I love this story.
I go to make myself a cocktail. I got a bottle in my bag. I get the ice bucket. I go down. I open it up. There's an old chicken wing in there.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
I swear to you. Like, and it's on a couple of levels, it's so bad. Like, who would do that, first of all? First of all, somebody took a dump in the bucket. You know, that's what it looked like.
Man, you know how much wings are today?
I thought somebody took, I'm like, oh, it's a chicken wing. So and then I'm like, did they not notice it? Because there was a new bag on there.
Well, I felt like
they put the new plastic liner. Yeah.
I felt like Ed did a Mad Libs. I went to a hotel and I found a chicken wing right. In the icebox. It's like, yes. What the hell? Like, who? Like, you're sitting there going, somebody said, I don't want this chicken wing anymore, and the right place to put it is in the icebox. When even if you just dropped it on the ground, it's like, that's a better idea.
Yeah. It's like, it was just, who does that? There's a trash pail right there. It's like,
and that's the encore for the day.
And of course, encore always brought to you by Lion's Den. Embrace your curiosity, explore your limits, spark that relationship. Check out Lion's Den. Great, great adult store. A bunch of locations in the region. Recommend them highly.
Ed, what did you learn today?
Well, we were talking about the man that's elected to be executed by firing squad earlier. Mm-hmm. And then I looked up countries, which, you know, still had the death penalty.
This effing guy.
What?
Man, anytime something random gets brought up on the show, he dives into it.
I know. Well, I was shocked that we are one of the only civilized countries in the world that still has the death penalty, by the way. Like England, France, Italy, none of them have it. Canada doesn't have it. Mexico doesn't have it. Anyway, we have it. The one I found the most interesting was Japan.
Hmm.
I'm going to just totally do this. Now, you know they snuck attack Pearl Harbor. They mm-hmm. didn't declare war until after they bombed us, like right before. Do you know what they do in Japan? They have death penalty. It's by hanging. It's very rare they carry it out. Not only is it hanging, they notify the prisoner an hour before he's being hanged.
Are you serious?
Could you imagine? Hey, you.
Well.
No, Nisho, get up. We're going to hang you. It's like,
hold on.
Holy crap.
Bobby asked me to play chess in the yard, and I'm going to lunch early. I got a doctor's appointment at 2. What do you mean you're hanging me?
They notify you an hour before you're going to die.
No anxiety.
That's true.
You have to live with the anxiety, man.
Well, then make it a minute before. Just come in with a hammer.
If you missed it, the Cowboys and the Eagles are going to play the first game of the season on Thursday Night Football. NFL announced today. Today is National Women's Checkup Day. So, ladies, take care of yourself. Go get a checkup. Seriously. Awareness Day.
Or stop by my house. I'll check it out. I'll take a look.
Former Major League Baseball player and manager Yogi Berra would have celebrated a birthday today. Felipe Alou, also former Major League manager and player.
One of the Alou brothers.
Would have celebrated a birthday today. Former second baseman Detroit Tigers, Lou Whitaker, turns 68 today. Jim Furyk, golfer, turns 55 today. And former Baltimore Raven, he's in the news for other things now. Steve Smith turns 46 today.
That IUD.
That's right. X Game medalist Tony Hawk and former running back Lawrence Phillips both share a birthday today. Joe, who's older?
Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk. Jeremy Kahn?
I don't know about that one. I'm going to go Lawrence Phillips.
Go Lawrence Phillips. Ed Norris?
I'm going Tony Hawk because it seems like a trap.
It seems like a trap?
Yeah.
Lawrence Phillips today turns 50. Tony Hawk today turns 57.
See? Ooh.
Wow.
Because he seems like a kid forever.
Yeah, that's why I picked him.
Yeah.
Well, here you go. What does the Starship Enterprise and toilet paper have in common?
They go where no one's gone before?
No, they both circle around Uranus and look for Klingons. If at first you don't succeed, then skydiving is not for you. I was on a train, and this woman opposite looked at me and said, "Every time you smile, I feel like inviting you to my place." And I asked, "Are you single?" She replied, "No, I'm a dentist." I'd tell you guys a joke about airplanes, but it'd probably go over your head. Some of these are really bad. What did the guy get fired? Why did the guy get fired from the rock quarry? He took his job for granted. There's a thief at large who specializes in stealing spices. Preliminary investigation reveals the suspect is a seasoned criminal. That's dumb. That's so dumb. I had a brain scan done a few weeks ago and just got the results. Apparently, there's nothing left on the right side and nothing right on the left side. Tinder is completely useless. I don't have a single match. And if I don't find a way to start this campfire tonight, I'll freeze to death. So, Joe, Tinder is something they use to start fires, a campfire, like wood. Okay, sorry. Anyway.
And the music is ending.
Yeah, that's just too bad.
I did have one, but this one, I don't know if I should read this one. That means Ed's going to tell me to read it. Nope, I'm not going to do it.
Oh,
I'll
come on.
No, this one could get me in trouble.
Go ahead. Not you. Come on. No music. Just you.
Okay.
Just
I was blessed with a 9-inch penis. Don't worry. That priest is in jail now. Hey, you guys have a great day.
That wasn't bad at all.
Yeah. Whoa. Hey,
Vinny and Annie up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Manic Monday.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.